September is National College Savings Month, but between normal day-to-day bills and expenses and saving for a home or retirement, it can be really hard to figure out where to start. Our next guest has some advice for getting that college savings plan going and ways to tackle student loan debt. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What has been your experience saving for college? Are you staring down a whole lot of student loan debt? And if so, what questions do you have about either saving on the front end or paying it off fast at the back end? Call in right now, 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. George Camel is a personal finance expert and host of the Fine Print and Entree Leadership podcasts. He's also a frequent co-host of The Ramsey Show with Dave Ramsey. George, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So to prepare for this interview, I went back to think about how much my college education cost. And I looked at the current cost of the tuition today, and it has gone up basically double. And I went to a private school, so that's part of the problem. But the cost of college has gone up so much. Can you talk about the strain that puts on families?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny you say that. Since 1994, education costs have risen 436%. I mean, that is unfathomable. It's more than food, housing, healthcare, all these things. It has trumped them all. And there's a lot of villains, and we could do a lot of finger pointing. But really, what I like to look at is the individual American, the people who are actually saddled with this debt. 45 million Americans, $1.6 trillion in debt, and they're just drowning as they start their adult lives, as they try to have kids and buy houses and live, you know, this American dream, and they can't because their student loan payments are holding them back.
And this can be hundreds of dollars a month. Like, this is what feels like maybe a nice apartment or maybe a nice car payment every month, but it's just going towards their student loan debt. You know, as someone who does personal finance, like, what kinds of questions have you gotten from people, since right now we'll just look at student loans, when it comes to them?
Well, one of the biggest questions is, how do I get rid of this thing? Obviously, right? No one wants their debt. And, you know, you've heard the term good debt when it comes to college. And that is some of the most brilliant marketing. If I needed to sell someone on debt, I would tell them it's good debt because it's going to prepare you for your career and all these stats about how much more money you're going to make over the course of your lifetime. And what they don't tell you is that your dream comes with a price tag of $180,000, and you're going to be paying it off for 20 years, and you're not going to be able to do all the things you wanted to do because of your payments. And so there's a lot of questions around what your options are as a borrower and what I can do, and should I be applying for student loan forgiveness? And the numbers on that have been abysmal. I mean, even the most recent development of the student loan forgiveness program, we're seeing 2% of Americans actually get through that apply.
Yeah, and I've heard that people that thought that it would be either easy or that they were a shoo-in ended up not even qualifying. And I think that that's a really interesting part of the conversation, that there are programs, but you really have to jump through a lot of hoops to even qualify or to find out that you don't. You know, if we want to take a big structural look really quickly, do you think that there's anything that could be done to mitigate our student loan issue?
Well, we're seeing a lot of, you know, things in the news and politics and what's President Biden going to do to forgive student loan debt. And when you look at that stuff, it just makes you go, man, people need a plan for themselves. Mm-hmm. We can't rely on Congress to push some legislation through. That would be great. And it's something that absolutely is worth fighting for. And I just talked to Seth Frotman, who's the executive director of the Student Borrower Protection Center, and he's working on this. I mean, he is fighting tooth and nail to get legislation done to protect people who really are in a terrible financial position because of the student loan debt. And there are some scams out there, too. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing I want people to realize is that they have control. It doesn't have to be this way, and they don't have to wait on the next president to solve their issues. And we help people with these kinds of issues every day, regardless of what type of debt it is. But obviously, student loan debt is the elephant in the room that we have to start talking about and start getting rid of.
We're talking to George Camel right now, personal finance expert and host of the Fine Print and Entree Leadership podcasts. He's also a frequent co-host of the Ramsey Show with Dave Ramsey. And we are talking about both paying off student loans, but also saving for college in advance. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234 with your questions. Well, if we're going to look at individuals, you know, it's the future seems far off. Like if you have a baby and you have 18 years to save for, you know, a chunk of their education expense, does it take some, I guess, some retooling mentally to think about the sort of long-term implications when we have so many short-term bills in the immediate?
Yeah, absolutely. And the earlier you start these conversations, the better off things are going to be. And what I'm finding as I've talked to high schoolers, you know, we had this a podcast series called Borrowed Future. It's an 8-episode podcast series that you can check out wherever you listen to podcasts. And it was all about the student loan crisis. And I sat down with high schoolers and I would ask them basic questions. Where do you want to go to school? How much is that going to be? How are you going to pay for that? And I didn't know this, but it ended up feeling like an interrogation. And they were frightened out of their mind. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm the first person to ask them these questions. They're not having these conversations at home. So if you're a parent out there, start these conversations early. Don't wait until they're 17 and applying for colleges to figure out how we're going to pay for college, where we're going to go, how much it's going to cost. And be realistic and be honest with the expectations of who's going to pay for what and where we're at financially and what does financial aid look like. And at all costs, I want people to avoid student loan debt. I don't want to add to the $1.6 trillion number. My dream is for people to, more and more stories that we are hearing on The Ramsey Show, people going, wow, I didn't know it was possible, but I went to school debt-free because I did what you guys teach, and I made a plan, and my parents saved, or I applied for scholarships and grants, or I went to an affordable school instead of a name brand famous college, and it works. And they can start their adult lives with no payments.
So for parents who might want to start saving now, what resources are available to them?
One of my favorite resources for saving for college is called an ESA, and it stands for Education Savings Account, or you may have heard of this as an Education IRA. And it works very similarly to a Roth IRA, except that it's just for education expenses. So you can invest up to $2,000 of after-tax dollars per year per child. And the best part is it grows tax-free, which means whatever money's in there, you can pull out with no tax implications there. So if you put away $2,000 a year, starting when your child is born, right? That's the ideal scenario. And by the time they turn 18, you would have put in $36,000, right? 2,000 times 18. And depending on the rate of growth and the rate of return, you know, 10 to 12% is what you'd be looking at on average. And that $36,000 that you put in would turn into $126,000 by the time that your child starts school. So that's an incredible savings tool that people aren't taking advantage of as they should. And $2,000 a year is not that much if you're in a good financial position. And so we teach people to live a debt-free lifestyle and have an emergency fund, you know, in case there's a pandemic or in case your tires blow out or you need a new HVAC. And so having a good financial foundation as a parent is what you need to focus on first, because there's a 100% chance that you will retire as a parent. But there's a 50-50 chance that your kid will go to college and graduate. So I want you to kind of put your mask on first as the parent and get yourself in a good financial position. But be honest with your child about where you're at financially and see, hey, can they work part-time while they're in high school, while they're in college? Can they apply for scholarships and grants like it's a part-time job? You know, can we choose an affordable college in our community where there may be a program that they can go to college free or very affordably instead of dropping 80 grand to go to the college in the state next door because of the football team and the landscaping and the cafeteria? These are the reasons children are choosing these schools, not because of the education, but because of the experience.
And that feels like a whole other can of worms in conversation sometimes. We are talking to George Camel right now. He's the host of the Personal Finance Podcast, The Fine Print, and the Entree Leadership Podcast about business and leadership. And he's with us today to talk about strategies for saving for college during National College Savings Month. And you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Are you a parent who's currently saving for your kids' education? Maybe you're a family member that's contributing to, you know, a fund for a relative. You know, how have you tackled that? What challenges have you run into? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, and we'll continue this conversation and take your calls coming up next right here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thanks for being with us. Right now, we continue our discussion about saving for college. September is National College Savings Month. George Camel stays with us. He's a personal finance expert and host of the Fine Print and Entree Leadership podcasts. And we want to hear your thoughts and your questions and share your experiences about saving for college or maybe even dealing with student loan debt. Call in now, 800-642-1234. Again, that number is 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Now, George, you were just talking about education savings accounts, and you likened them to a Roth IRA, which means that you put money in after you've already paid taxes so you can take that money out, when the time is right. Now, there are other accounts as well, like 529, that people may be more familiar with. Can you talk about that kind of account?
Absolutely. So the 529 plan can be a really great option for a lot of people, and it's always state dependent for those 529 plans. But what I love about them is that they're higher contribution rates. So we talked about that $2,000 limit for an ESA. Well, the 529, it's much, much higher. It varies by state, but generally you can contribute up to $300,000. And most of the time, there aren't any income limits or restrictions based on age. And this also grows tax-free. You can use it for K-12 tuition, vocational schools, textbooks, you name it, anything associated to education costs. So there are some restrictions if you want to transfer this to another child. So look into that for your state. But either way, this really comes down to one simple principle. If you invest nothing, you'll have nothing. And so I want parents to get on this as early as they can. And like I mentioned earlier, it means getting out of debt for yourself as a parent. And that means having an emergency fund before you start investing for your kid's college. We teach something here at Ramsey called the baby steps. And it doesn't happen until baby step 5 that we go, okay, it's time to start saving for college. Baby step 5 happens after we've gotten out of debt, we have an emergency fund, we're investing 15% of our household income into retirement for ourselves, and then we can talk about saving for college. And so a lot of people are trying to do 17 things at once, and they're wondering why they're not making progress, and it's a very stressful situation. So once you start doing these things in order, you're going to feel that progress and realize that there are options out there. And having that conversation with your child, it starts there. That is the number one thing parents need to be doing, is just talk about it. Talk about your kids' dreams and then figure out if that's going to be a reality or not. Can they go to, NYU at $80,000 a year? How are we going to pay for that and not saddle them with, $300,000+ in student loan debt?
I want to go to one of our callers right now, George. We have Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I'd like to, first of all, I think your guest has made some excellent points about ways to save for college and do it in an efficient and sensible way. But he also refers to student loan debt as the elephant in the room, as if it's some looming social problem that needs to be solved. Well, the fact is that investments in education by students is an excellent investment, at least as good as the investment that other investments that he's been talking about. And yet it's presented as if it's some problem that the rest of us have to solve. Let the student solve it. The student's the one who's benefiting the most. Why should people who make a lot less than the average college student be underwriting this investment for the student? Leave it to the student to pay.
Bill, thank you for that call. And I think that's part of the larger structural conversation that a lot of, everyone from, parents to lawmakers are really grappling with right now, which is the responsibility, who it falls to and who ultimately will pay for it. Can we go back to, the structural issues facing students today that might not have been around 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. And Bill brings up a great point. And I'm not advocating for someone else to foot the bill for all of education for all students. I think there are a lot of state and community colleges that already have programs in place where you can go to these colleges debt-free without having to pay. And those are some great opportunities that need to be taken advantage of. But when it comes to student loan forgiveness, I don't know if Bill is talking about that. I don't think that student loan forgiveness is the answer. I think it's just a Band-Aid, and we need to get to the root of the problem, which is the student loan program that's federal right now. Because if we just pay off the $1.6 trillion, we're going to have another $1.6 trillion real soon. because the program hasn't stopped. So they're still giving away money to these 18-year-olds who don't have not a clue what it's like to take on $200,000 of debt. And we're just handing it over to them, and parents are co-signing, so they're on the hook too now, or grandparents. And so what I want to see is just this conversation where we go, what makes sense? How much can we actually afford to pay without going into massive amounts of debt and dealing with that for the rest of our adult life? Because what we're seeing, this is a shocking stat, 12 years after borrowing, the average borrower has only paid off 34% of their student loans. 12 years later, they're only a third of the way through. And so we're seeing people taking 20 years to pay off their debt, which means they're in their mid-40s and they're still making these payments, and they've paid thousands upon thousands in interest. And so what I want to see is people advocating for themselves and people setting themselves up for success.
I want to go back to one of our callers right now. We have Mike from Brookfield. Hi, Mike.
Hi. This is kind of near and dear to my heart because I was a student that took out student loans. I was a veteran, and I went through grad school as well. And, you know, when you come out and you don't get that great paying job, or you don't get a job that can pay for not only your living expenses and your student loans, and then you find that the student loans move from one bank to another, and the guarantee on those interest rates, you know, you thought as a student was going to stay there, and then you find the interest rates went up and banks started to sell your loans to other banks. That guarantee kind of went away, and I just wish that we could go back to a state where those loans had an interest rate. That interest rate is fixed until they're completely paid off, and it just stays that way so that they don't get saddled with this debt, that the guarantee from the federal government was there in place.
Mike, thank you so much for that call. And Mike brings up some really interesting kind of under the water issues that we see with these loans, which is that they can be bought and sold basically behind the scenes. And you might get a letter saying, hey, your interest rate is this now. You know, how does that challenge people who are really trying to aggressively pay off their student loans?
Yeah, that's a huge issue. And there's a variable interest rate here that Mike's talking about where, hey, it went from 3% and now it got sold to a bank and now they're charging me 6%. And what it does, it deflates your progress because you're trying to make these minimum payments and it's not going anywhere when you realize that the principal is still the same, or in some cases, it's gone up. And we feature a guy in our new documentary, Borrowed Future, coming out October 14th, and he went $1 million in debt. He did his undergrad completely debt-free, and he ended up being an orthodontist and went $1 million in debt. And he was paying tens of thousands of dollars, and it wasn't going anywhere. And in fact, it was growing because of the interest rate on a number that massive. And so that is why we advocate for an intensity when it comes to paying off debt. We can't do this willy-nilly. We can't do this in 20 years. I want you to do this in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years in some cases. And a lot of people can do this following our plan. And the reason I say that, it's not a theory. I meet them every day in the lobby. We just had a debt-free scream on the air where a couple paid off their student loan debt, and they did it in 2 years. And it didn't take them 20 years to pay off. And the way you do that is following our proven plan. We have a method called the debt snowball where you're listing these out from smallest to largest, and you're paying the minimum payments on everything except for the smallest debt. And here's the hard part, the mathematics on it. You go, well, wouldn't it make sense to pay off the highest interest rate first? Yeah, but we're not doing math here. This is about behavior change. This is about feeling the progress. So once you list them out from smallest to largest, we attack the smallest one with everything we've got. We're taking on side jobs. We're scaling back. We're not eating out. We're going to do this for a short period of time in order to feel the progress and pay down this debt. When you do that, you free up a payment. So we can apply that to the next loan and the next loan. And that's why we call it the snowball. It gains snow as it rolls down the hill. And that is the method I would recommend to anyone who doesn't want to be paying on their student loans for the next 20 years.
George, we heard from Don in Appleton who couldn't stay with us, but he called in to talk about his kids. They're going to college. His son went through debt-free, and his daughter is really interested in going to a school that is more expensive, and the money set aside, as he puts it, will be gone within 2 years. We only have about a minute left. What advice do you have for parents? We kind of touched on this, to tackle that conversation with their kids about maybe not going to the name brand school or something like that, but to kind of go to school within their means.
Yeah. So if you know this is on the horizon and there's not enough money in the bank to cover this, what I would tell you is that you need to have a plan. This needs to be a partnership with your kid where you go, hey, you're going to take on a job. And actually, what we found is that people who take on jobs while they're in college actually have a higher GPA. And it makes sense. You're more disciplined. You've got to keep track of everything going on in your life, and you're not hanging out with friends on the weekends and partying. You're focused on getting a degree, which is why you're there, let me remind you, and you're working this job, which is bringing in some money, and applying for aid not only before you go to college, but every single semester. Be applying for grants, scholarships. I want you to be on a first-name basis with your financial aid counselors and guidance counselors, and don't fall for aid that is secretly student loans. They go, hey, congrats, we can give you loans. So have a plan, try to cash flow this as much as you can, and avoid debt like the plague.
George, thank you so much for joining us. I wish we had some more time.
Well, I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
That was George Camel. He's a personal finance expert and the host of the Fine Print and Entree Leadership podcasts. He's also a frequent co-host of the Ramsey Show with Dave Ramsey, and he was here to talk about saving for college and paying off student loan debt.